the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a Sunday morning. Hello, everyone. Tim Murray live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Hey, we got an NBA Finals game today. We were all wondering, where was it last night? Well, it's tonight. That's where it ultimately was. Game two of the NBA Finals, Indiana and the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't know if you heard this, but the Pacers had quite the comeback in game one. 15-point comeback in the fourth quarter, the largest fourth quarter comeback in the last 50 years in the NBA Finals. So we're going to do a little bit of preview on game two of the NBA Finals. We got plenty to get to, though, for today. Busy day on the diamond, both for Major League Baseball. Happy Skeens Day to all. And also, seven college baseball games. Oh, by the way, right now on the clay over at Roland Garros, as much as I like to say that, 2-2, first set between Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz. So yesterday I was just fixated on looking at the live odds for the French Open Women's Crown. It was once again Coco Gauff, way to go to get that victory. I'm just going to keep our eyes on here, and various times throughout the show, I'm going to tell you what the live odds are and how much they ultimately shift. This match went off essentially a pick'em between Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz today. Alcaraz going off as a very, very slight favorite, minus 115, and Sinner minus 105 here at Circa. 2-2 in the first set. It has the makings, and I'm no Zachary Cohen, but it has the makings of a very long final here, as I believe the opening set, or opening game, I should say, took over 10 minutes. So we will keep our eyes on that. Right now, guess what? It's a pick'em at DraftKings between Sinner and Alcaraz. So a lot to get to today. Our eyes will be on the French Open final, certainly through the show, and we'll see if there is a time throughout this match if we want to jump in live, or if we'll just keep you updated. But 2-2 in that opening set. But a whole lot to get to, of course, here today. We will recap what unfolded late last night at the Prudential Center in New Jersey as UFC 316 went off and the favorites were able to take the main and co-main last night. And then the moment that we were all anticipating, Amanda Nunes coming into the octagon to essentially set up a showdown with Kayla Harrison. So that was a neat moment to see last night, as expected, as we talked to Brett Okamoto yesterday here on the program. So a great show ahead for you to get you ready for a busy sports Sunday. So let's do what we always do to start the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Let's get you prepared for the day by setting the scene.
Let's dive in to the biggest games of the day.
Well, the biggest game of the day, I think it's fair to say, game two of the NBA Finals tonight in Oklahoma City, the Indiana Pacers, the improbable, but I guess at this point, we should just say probable comeback, because this is what they do. The cockroaches, and I mean that in the most endearing way, the Indiana Pacers never refuse to die. And they are up 1-0 after coming back from down 15 with 9 and change to go and win 111-110 game number one. So right now you're looking at the board and you're seeing that the Oklahoma City Thunder, who closed as a 10-point favorite in game one, of course didn't get there because the Pacers won that game outright. They are now an 11-point favorite in game number two. Let's hear from the stars that will be playing on the floor tonight. And we'll start with the MVP of the league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, following a game one loss.
I let the game go as soon as I learned the lessons from it. As soon as I watch film, take what I need to take from it, and we do as a group. After that, I let it go because the lessons are learned. There's nothing else you can do. And then honestly, the team has the same demeanor, so there's no, this team makes it easy. You don't have to rile guys up or lock guys in. Like, we all have the same goal in mind, and we all know what it takes to win games. And we just, that's what's on the focus of our mind, and that's what we are focused on the next day, being better and trying to win the next one.
You know, we had Chris Miles from NBA TV on yesterday on the program. He was there in Oklahoma City. He'll be there again today doing pre- and post-game coverage live on the court. And he said the thing that jumped out to him, as well as his colleagues, including, you know, Shaq and former players, was the demeanor of this Oklahoma City team following the loss. It was almost a ho-hum, all right, we'll bounce back. And I think he meant that in a positive way. They weren't overreacting to what they had just seen happen, losing a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter of Game 1 of the NBA Finals. They've only lost five games this postseason, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Of course, three of those coming against Denver, one against Minnesota. The following game after losses so far this postseason, the Thunder are 4-0 straight up. Now, does that do anything for us as bettors? Because they're an 11-point favorite, and are you racing to lay minus 470 on the money line? No, not necessarily. How are they against the spread? 2-2 against the spread, full game. 4-0 ATS in the first half, and that is why you have to pay the tax in that opening half. We talked about it yesterday. There were a couple of 7.5s out there yesterday. Not the case anymore. They're all at 8. We'll dive into what those first quarters and first halves looked like following the four previous losses this postseason throughout the show here. But there was the loss, and then there was the victory. Tyrese Haliburton, one of the most clutch playoff performers we've ever seen, and that's not being hyperbolic. What is he, 4-for-4 in his last four game-winning shot attempts or game-tying shot attempts in the closing of regulation since 97? If you look at the postseason, players to hit game-winning or game-tying shots with less than 5 seconds to go, LeBron, number one with 8. He's played in a few more playoff games. Reggie Miller, 5. Tyrese Haliburton, 5 as well. So let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton after that thrilling Game 1 victory. What's their demeanor heading into Game 2 tonight?
You're trying to take it a day at a time, and that's the biggest thing that coaches preach to us and we preach to each other as a group, is how can we just have a good day today to prepare us, for tomorrow. But, you know, the journey to get here all year hasn't been about, you know, when we get to the final. No, it's just been about taking it a day at a time, especially the start we had to the year. So we're aware of, and it's hard not to be, you know, we're human beings. We have social media, we have friends and family, you know, tell us all the numbers of, you know, if you can win the two games at home, what it will, you know, whatever it'll look like, or on the road, or whatever the case is. But again, you just try not to pay attention to it as best as you can, and don't let human nature creep in. Just try to take it a day at a time.
Of course, where the Indiana Pacers were heading into this series around plus 500 underdogs, trying to get into some pretty rarefied air of underdogs to win the NBA Finals in that big of a number. I would think the number was plus 250 dogs or more in the last 16 NBA Finals, or just 1-15, the lone one winning, of course, the Detroit Pistons back in 2004. There was plenty of criticism for Oklahoma City head coach Mark Daigneault for the way that he went about his lineup. Now, you could pick at it a little bit, because why are you going to placate to your opponent when you're the 68-win regular season team, when you're the 80-win team heading into the NBA Finals, as he made that shift in the starting lineup, going with Cason Wallace instead of Isaiah Hartenstein, not having Hartenstein or Chet Holmgren on the floor at all in game number one? And ultimately, was that the demise? I don't know. But it certainly didn't help, as they were out-rebounded by 17. Oklahoma City head coach Mark Daigneault, as he prepares for game number two tonight.
We have confidence and wisdom because of the situations we've been in over time. There's no team I'm more confident in being ready to play really in any situation than ours. I'm biased, obviously, but you also have to go make it happen. You know, those experiences don't guarantee you anything. They certainly don't carry over into the next experience. And so we've got the wisdom from them. We get the confidence from them. But when the ball goes up in the air tomorrow, the better team's going to win. And we want to do everything we can to be that team.
Is it going to be the Isaiah Hartenstein game? Over under 14.5 points and rebounds? We'll dive into all of it. Lots of great guests for you. We'll talk to JVT in Hour 2. We'll talk to Matt Moore from the Action Network at the top of Hour 3. And we'll also check in with our resident Indianapolis an Indiana Pacer fan, the one and only Wes Reynolds, in hour number 3. Hey, folks, happy Skeens Day to you. And some of the numbers out there for Paul Skeens, pretty staggering, right, as you head into today's start against the Philadelphia Phillies. The Pirates are a very slight favorite at minus 110. If you do the first five, which I think many of you would look at, Pirates at minus 130, but the numbers have been rather brutal for Paul Skeens regarding his run support. So he enters today with the second best ERA in the National League at 2.09. He has been striking out batters at a pretty high rate. His number, as you look at it today at the market, is 6.5 juiced at minus 115 to the over. But courtesy of Optostats here, there have been 90 occurrences all time of an MLB pitcher having a sub-210 ERA and 80-plus strikeouts through 13 starts of the season. Paul Skeens, 4-6 in 2025, is the only one to have a losing record. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why the win-loss record in baseball is the dumbest stat in all of sports. Regardless, what do we expect tonight from Paul Skeens? Well, as mentioned, over under 6.5 strikeouts. He's gone over that 5 of his last 6 starts. His ERA in his last 7 starts is 1.77, and the Pirates are a whopping 2-5 in those games. So maybe, just maybe, the Pittsburgh Pirates can give Paul Skeens a little bit of run support. And as you see right there, minus 130 on the money line. How about this total? Three is the first 5 total with Paul Skeens taking the hill this afternoon there in Pittsburgh. So it should be a fun one. No doubt we will keep our eyes on that. And then real quickly, speaking of baseball, 7 college baseball games, 3 winner-take-all contests. UNC losing yesterday to Arizona, forcing a game 3. Florida State winning in Corvallis yesterday. Shouts to Jensen Lewis as he gave out the under on that one. And then Miami beat Louisville. So 3 winner-take-alls and then 4 other games. Only one team has punched their ticket to the College World Series in Omaha, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. We'll talk about that and hopefully hear from their coach on the other side of the break. We're up and running. It is the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Much more on college baseball coming up bottom of the hour when Matt Grissom joins the program. Come on, stick around here on VSiN.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here on a Sunday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Whew, we got a lot going on today. I'm excited for today, and we'll get to what unfolded yesterday and last night. Also, another running of, well, I guess the final running, right, of the Triple Crown races up at Saratoga. Sovereignty takes care of business yet today. We'll get to that a little bit later on here. But let's, before we go to what unfolded last night, let's tell you what we got coming on the show here today. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, Matt Grissom going to run through the 7 college baseball games. As we always love checking in with Matt Grissom. He was on the program yesterday, back on today with 7 games on the docket today. As mentioned in the last segment, only one team punching their ticket to Omaha, and that would be Coastal Carolina. So get to Rocco's and start pounding those Jello shots, Chanticleer fans. We'll go behind the counter with our guy Thomas Gable there in New Jersey. How was the action for UFC 316 last night, and what does he expect for tonight? A Stanley Cup preview with my guy Steven Wino, who is live from Panthers practice down there in Sunrise. JVT also in hour 2 as we get you ready for game 2, and a plethora of game 2 preview all throughout the show, as you would expect here on the VSiN Weekend Morning Line. Matt Moore with player props and sides, totals, everything you could ask for. And Homer Wes on his Indiana Pacers, as he has to be floating right now. Cloud 9 for the Yesers after they come back to win. We had Wes on the program on Thursday during halftime, me and Matt on VSiN Primetime. And I wouldn't say many people believed that the Pacers would ultimately win that game, but why should we be surprised anymore with the way the Indiana Pacers continue to come back? All right, quick update from what's going on at Roland Garros, the French Open final. Yesterday, we had the 1-2, and it was Coco Gauff, the 2-seed, as an underdog around plus 190 as she came back after losing the first set to win the French Open, her first French Open crown, second career Grand Slam, and the first American to win the French Open since Serena did it back in 2015. Yannick Sinner did go off as the betting favorite, ever so slight, at minus 115. And right now, Sinner, a minus 150 favorite. He's up 4-3 in the first set. So I would imagine this is going to bounce back and forth. Last time we were talking, you know, all of, what, 8 minutes ago, Carlos Alcaraz was a slight favorite. So you can get him at plus 125. Look, full-on anticipation of this one, it feels like it's going to go five sets, doesn't it, right now, the way that we're looking and how this is all ultimately playing out. Jannik Sinner, by the way, to win the first set is out to minus 240. Why? Because, you know, he's up 4-3. So we will keep our eyes peeled on the French Open final here. And hopefully Zach Cohen, who gave us some winners yesterday on VSiN.com, is back to the winner on the French Open final. But we will keep our eyes on this one. But let's get to last night, as we like to do here on the program. We set the scene to start the show, and then we take a step back because, you know, it's early in the morning, at least for us here in Vegas. It's Sunday morning. You might have not been up late last night, and that's fine. We're not here to judge. Or maybe you were up late last night and weren't keeping your eyes peeled on everything that's on television. That's why we're here. So let's get into it. UFC 316 last night at the Prudential Center in New Jersey. And we had previewed the match. And the curiosity, I thought, was, all right, Merab is a significant favorite over Sugar Shane O'Malley. But it was worth noting, I keep saying Sugar Shane, Sugar Sean O'Malley. I've got WWE on my mind. But Merab went off as around a minus 250 favorite here at Circa. And thing that Brett Okamoto and many others had pointed out is when they fought at the Sphere back in September, it was a pick'em. Well, round two, adios. That was it. Merab wins via submission as Sean O'Malley tapped out there. The one thing that was interesting is that you could have got under 4.5 at plus, I want to double check the number, plus 185, the last five Merab fights had gone to the cards. So if you had anticipated this one not going the distance, could have had a nice payday there. So Merab gets the victory as he beats Sean O'Malley there in the second round. Speaking of which, Kayla Harrison, who was not the champ, went into yesterday's fight as a minus $5 favorite. Pretty hefty price, right? Well, similarly to the main event, she took care of business and won it in the second round as well. So that goes under. 3.5 was juice under, minus $1.25. Let's hear from Kayla Harrison, your new bantamweight UFC champion.
It feels amazing. You know, a lot has happened in a very short amount of time just since I got out of the cage. Even while I was in the cage, a lot happened. But, you know, this belt right here, yes, best in the world, but this belt represents so much more than that. The journey to get here and the woman that I've become from being 6 years old on my Mimi's couch watching the 96 Olympic Games to being here.
Gold medalist and now UFC champion. And after the fight, as we all expected, Amanda Nunes, who made the announcement on Friday that she was looking to come out of retirement, she walked into the octagon, faced up there with Kayla Harrison, and they both agreed, let's get it on. Let's make this fight happen, as they were being interviewed. So Nunes is back, and DraftKings does have odds on that fight. We don't have a date yet, but I asked Brett Okamoto, and he got mad at me. Not really mad. He was joking. He said, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, get old take exposed here. But he did say, and I'll give him credit, he said, I would expect Kayla Harrison to be the favorite against Amanda Nunes. And she is right now at DraftKings. Harrison is a minus 162 favorite. Amanda Nunes at plus 136. We don't know yet when that fight will take place. But I think Dana White, he's no dummy. I think we're going to make this fight happen, and it'll be a massive one, no doubt, with the return of Amanda Nunes against the now champ, Kayla Harrison. As I've been continuing to mention, we only had one team punch their ticket to Omaha, so the Rocco's whiteboard right now there in Omaha, where we, VSiN, will be broadcasting live starting on Thursday, only has one team on it, and that's the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Coastal Carolina, which was the 13 seed heading into the NCAA tournament. So they did host the regional. They went to Auburn, and they took care of business, ladies and gentlemen. And yesterday, they closed as a $1.40 favorite. So there was a 35-cent move towards the Shants, and they were able to take care of business down on the plains against Auburn. And their head coach is Kevin Schnall, his first year as the head coach of the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers, and he's got his squad in Omaha, and he wants you to know one thing and one thing only. Let's hear from Coach.
This is no Cinderella, I want to make sure that's known. This is no Cinderella. Coastal Carolina, the past century, only 8 teams have been to the regionals more times than us. During that same time period, we've got the 6th best winning percentage, the 9th most wins. This is not a Cinderella story. We're one of the premier, most successful college baseball programs in the entire country.
He's not lying. And they won the national championship in their only appearance in Omaha. How about that shooting percentage? One visit to Omaha, one national championship. And Coastal Carolina did indeed punch their ticket yesterday to Omaha. As for who will punch their ticket today, well, in theory, we could see 7 teams punch their ticket. Probably not, let's be real, because 4 of them are not winner-take-all. But we know 3 will definitely punch their ticket, as we've got Arizona against North Carolina. And for all of you out there who are, like me, have a little exposure to UNC, yesterday kind of sucked. 10-8, the final score. Both these games, by the way, have gone over the total in Chapel Hill with our guy Jensen Lewis on the call down there in Chapel Hill. Total right now sitting at 13.5, juiced under at Circa for UNC Arizona. That's a winner take all. Late night tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern in Corvallis, Florida State, as they got the win yesterday. And as mentioned, Jensen, good call on the under in that one as that comes home. Oregon State, a very, very slight favorite here at Circa, minus 112. And then the other winner take all has Louisville as a minus 190 favorite against Miami. The other 4 showdowns, we have LSU putting up a boatload of runs yesterday against West Virginia. They're minus $3 favorites to beat West Virginia today. LSU will be the road team in Baton Rouge. Duke, as they beat Murray State, they're a 270 favorite. And then the game, I'm sure, my guy Matt Grissom, who's going to join us in 5 minutes, is going to be sweating bullets about. And the love is, just not there between Arkansas and Tennessee. What a game it was yesterday for Woo Pig Suey. In that raucous environment, Arkansas wins 4-3. Tennessee, a minus 130 favorite this afternoon down there in Fayetteville. We'll get your thoughts on that game and all 7 of the games coming up here in just a moment. But reminder, folks, as you know, the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals are going on right now, and our friends over at ProfitX are offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind here in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Download ProfitX today. Use the code VS. IN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Busy day of college baseball, and we're previewing it next.
You're tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Good Sunday morning. Tim Murray live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. How'd the books fare last night? We will find out in 15 minutes. Thomas Gable from the Borgata there in Atlantic City. The UFC 316 saw 2 heavy favorites bring it on home. So what did that mean for them, especially with the fight taking place in New Jersey? So I'm curious to find out the answer. Quick update before we get to the progressive guest line of the French Open final. Yannick Sinner right now a minus $2 favorite as he is trying to break Carlos Alcaraz and take the first set. But as anticipated, probably won't be easy. 5-4 right now, Sinner leading that first set, which I'm going to go out and say it. This thing won't be done by the time we sign off. This is going to be a battle between Sinner and Alcaraz going off. Minus 115 Sinner, Alcaraz minus 105 heading into this French Open final. And we will keep you updated all throughout as Yannick Sinner does break Carlos Alcaraz. He takes the first set, and just like that, boom, Sinner now a minus 275 favorite, and Alcaraz was plus 200, now plus 240. So there you go. Sinner takes the first set 6-4 after breaking Carlos Alcaraz there. All right, let's head to the progressive guest line and welcome in our good friend who's been doing amazing work for us over at vsin.com, college baseball insiders as well. He'll be boots on the ground in Omaha later on this week, hopefully with his beloved Arkansas Razorbacks being there. So we were just talking a little bit off fair. What a game it was yesterday as we saw the barking back and forth. Andrew Fisher and Zach Root. I'm not allowed to say the words that we believe were said. Let's just say it was highly intense down there in Fayetteville. 4-3 was the final yesterday, Matt. So we do it again today with a chance to go to the College World Series. And right now, as we look at the current odds, Tennessee is a slight favorite, total 10.5. So you said yesterday on the show, I wouldn't touch this with a 9.5-foot pole. I'm paraphrasing there. Would you do anything with Arkansas-Tennessee today?
Well, so our website projections have Tennessee minus 129. Which would make Arkansas plus 129 on implied odds. So it's pretty much in line. I think if you wanted to try to get cute, you could play the dog on the run line. But for our books here, Tennessee is actually the one catching plus 1.5. So I don't know. I mean, I think they're favored because of Liam Doyle, but his last outing against Arkansas, I think he went 4 2/3, gave up 6 earned runs. They've kind of had his number, and Arkansas hits lefties a lot better than they hit righties. So I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas wins this one today. Obviously, with Liam Doyle going, you're going to have a lot more of the added tension back and forth. But as we saw yesterday with Andrew Fisher, the crowd really likes to bark at the guys that also like to bark back. And Liam Doyle is not shy to turn around and have some choice words for fans. So this is, again, going to be appointment viewing. And thanks for the game yesterday for making me look halfway smart when I said that this would be better than the National Championship Series.
It was the atmosphere there, man, and to see Zach Root and Fisher go at it after Fisher grounded into that double play was pretty fun to see. So 4-3, the final score yesterday, Woo Pig getting the victory and take a 1-0 series lead. So they could punch their ticket to Omaha today, or worst case scenario, Arkansas is playing again on Monday in a winner take all. We've got 3 winner take alls today, Matt. We've got Arizona, North Carolina. Much to our chagrin, the Wildcats get the victory yesterday 10-8, as we've seen the overhit in both of those games. You had Florida State late last night, and that came home. Jensen had the under in that game as well, as Florida State gets the victory. Solid pitching there. They're able to close the door on the Beavers. And then Miami as a dog beats Louisville. So of the 3 winner-take-all games today, Matt, anything jumping out to you where we look at those 3?
Yeah, so I think one of the better teams right now to back is Miami. I know Louisville's at home. They won the first game. I think it's 79% of the time the winner of game 1 gets it done. I was on Griffin Hugus yesterday. He was the better pitcher. And unfortunately, the game had already started, but then I went back and realized it was still 0-0. So I guess I could have given out a live bet. But I'm on the Canes again. I took them plus 1.5 on the run line. They're going to start Reese Lumpkin, 397, Sierra, Ethan Eberle for Louisville, 404. And then the bullpen for Louisville is just atrocious. They're number 150 in the country in Sierra compared to Miami's 40th ranked bullpen. Louisville does have the benefit with weighted runs created. They're about 18, if I can't do math in my head, 16% better on offense. But I don't know, this Miami team, the way that J.D. Arteaga has this team playing, I'm not going to be surprised if they figure out a way to win this game like they did game 7 against Southern Miss.
College Baseball Insiders at NCAA Insiders, where you can find them on social media. Matt Grissom joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line. So 7 games today. Coastal Carolina, the only team to punch their ticket to the College World Series. And I believe you said that on the show yesterday. You felt like after winning game 1 that Coastal would be live again, and the betting market agreed. That moved out to minus 140. Coastal was able to take care of business, so they are headed to the College World Series. The other games today on the card, we've got LSU, West Virginia, pretty significant number there with LSU laying around $3. Duke gets their star back, which I know is exciting. A.J. Gracia will be back after serving that suspension. They're minus 270 against Murray State. And then UCLA, UT San Antonio, we saw some love for the Roadrunners in the market. They got off to a good start, but ultimately the Bruins were too much, and they took game one. So of the other three games still to come today, LSU, West Virginia, Duke, Murray State, and UCLA, UT San Antonio, Matt. Anything in those three?
Yeah, so the website actually likes Duke and LSU a lot higher than what the odds are. I think Duke is -280 at circa, and we make them -350. And same kind of sentiment for LSU. So I think Duke, LSU, and a moneyline parlay. I know that's pretty square to try to give out a parlay, but that's why I pair it with dogs too. So if you take Miami on the run line, we can have some fun. UTSA, another team, this is like gut check time where you lose on one team. Do you have the gall to go back and back them the next day just because you think out of principle they're going to respond? I do. I think Braylon Owens, UTSA lost, like I had them +1.5, and this is the tough thing about college baseball is one bad pitch, a couple walks, like this totally flips. So these +1.5, -1.5 run lines are so iffy, but I think UTSA keeps this one very close. Braylon, if not win it, Braylon Owens, almost 1.5 runs better on Sierra than Landon Stump, who we have projected to go for UCLA. Plus the home team now is UTSA, so they're going to get to bat last. I like them in this spot. I would just lay them, take them on the money line. I think they're +110 right now at circa.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Tennessee Arkansas game again, if you wanted to bet it, I would lean under, but I wouldn't be surprised if the +1.5 cashes once again, because I think this is going to be a grinded out type game.
Matt Grissom, once again, you can read his write-ups coming up shortly over at VSiN.com. All right, to sum it up, because I do want to get your thoughts on Coastal Carolina before we get out of here, but to sum it up for today, correct me if I'm wrong, Miami on the run line, looks like you can get that around even money. Look around, maybe a little plus money, +1.5 runs. They are the underdog there against Louisville. You like UTSA as the home team tonight against UCLA, actually this afternoon. You get that around +110. And then maybe look at a Duke-LSU money line parlay. Are those the bets that you're looking at for today?
Yep, those are the three. And then I really like Florida State to get it done tonight, -110. I think that we saw last night they're just the better team. And from offense to timely hitting to bullpen, Florida State should have not lost game one. It sucks that they did. They respond, get game two. I think they can close it out and get game three. It's probably going to be Wes Mendez going against Eric Segura. Mendez is the better starter. So I hope the Seminoles can get it done, because I feel like that's worth a play as well.
Matt, give us a quick 30-second preview of Coastal Carolina, the first team to punch their ticket to Omaha.
Yeah, first time back since 2016 when they won it all. It's kind of been the year of the mid-major. It looks good for really just college baseball to see that teal in Omaha. And I don't know if you've seen any of the post-game interviews with Coach Schnall.
Not a Cinderella.
Like, he's a guy that you want to play for.
Yeah.
Like they've just played really sound baseball. You saw Auburn making all kinds of mistakes, running the bases. I mean, this is little league stuff, but Coastal Carolina really took it to them and looked like the more dominant team. So hats off to the Shants. I already ordered my hat, so I'll have another team in Omaha with a hat on. And, yeah.
Love it.
Buckle up for college baseball.
There he is, Matt Grissom. Always appreciate it, sir. Just a reminder, folks, we've got a great promo going on over at VSiN.com. You can become a VSiN Pro subscriber for $199 for the year, and you'll get your hands on the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. Head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
We keep it rolling here. A little college baseball into a little update on the French Open final Yannick Sinner, another break of Carlos Alcaraz, and Sinner, who went off as around a minus 115 favorite. Now, if you look at the live odds, minus 575. So he took the first set 6-4, and he is up 2-0 in the second set. So right now at DraftKings, minus 575 for Yannick Sinner. And I'm sure some folks out there who bet Yannick Sinner said they'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. That's my best Wes Reynolds impersonation, to throw out a little Billy Joel for you. All right, hour two, we will talk some hockey with Stephen Wino. We'll be live in Sunrise, getting us ready for game three of the Stanley Cup final tomorrow night. JVT in hour two as well. And the aforementioned Wes Reynolds also will join us in the third hour of the program. But let's head back to our progressive guest line and welcome in, as he always joins us. Actually, we've got an open for him, I believe. Andrew, yes, we're good to go here. So before we head to the progressive guest line, let's get to our fancy open to welcome in our next guest.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
I was so busy staring at Billy Joel lyrics here that I almost forgot to throw to our graphic. Yes, let's go behind the counter and to the progressive guest line and welcome in Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director from the Borgata there in Atlantic City. When it comes to tennis, I'm curious. You get Coco Gauff to win yesterday. You've got Sinner versus Alcaraz. A little bit of a changing of the guard, right, when you've got these two new superstars, it seems, brewing. How has the action been for you guys when it comes to the French Open? And I guess on the women's side, you do have an American star growing in Coco Gauff.
Yeah, I mean, the French Open, the handle has been pretty good, I would say, overall through the tournament. Gauff yesterday was a good result for us. And in this one, I mean, you know, Sinner and Alcaraz, pretty much a pick 'em in most places. We closed Alcaraz at even money, Sinner minus 115. But we have a small decision here. We'll need Sinner, and certainly he looks good at this point, up 40-15 right now in the third game in the second set. So, actually just put it away. So yep, he's up three to love in the second set. But yeah, I mean, overall the handle's been good. And, you know, as you said, Sinner and Alcaraz has pretty much emerged as the top of the, in the men's side. And, you know, more than likely these are going to be the two guys who you're going to be seeing battled out in finals for the majors. And, you know, as guys like Djokovic, and, you know, while he's still obviously competing at a high level, you know, father time catches up to everybody. It's time for the younger generation here to step up. And these two guys are going to be the class of the tennis world.
Thomas Gable giving us the latest from behind the counter as he is there in New Jersey. We're, of course, going to ask him about the NBA Finals tonight, what they've seen so far. But in your state, last night was UFC 316. And I know sports books tend to get a plethora, especially when you've got some high-profile fighters. And right now, Sean O'Malley is a very high-profile fighter. You got a plus price by him, and he gets submitted in the second round yesterday by Merab. So my guess would be, Thomas, as we heard from Chuck Esposito yesterday morning, that they were going to be on the Merab side. Pretty good result for you guys when it comes to Sean O'Malley getting submitted there in the second round?
Yeah, very good result. O'Malley certainly has become one of these fighters who moved the needle and just brings in a lot of recreational money. And yesterday, as the dog, that was definitely the case. And, you know, it turned out to be a pretty big decision. So anytime O'Malley fights now, it's just he's going to be a draw, and you're going to write a lot of business on him. And went our direction last night. And even with both favorites winning, and even in the co-main event between Harrison and Pena there, Harrison, definitely a prohibitive favorite. We were taking money on the dog there, so that one ended up being a good result for the house as well. So overall, no complaints with UFC last night. Things definitely went our way for the card overall. So great results from the Prudential Center.
Do you get an uptick because, Thomas, it was at the Prudential Center there in Jersey?
I can't say that it does just because of, you know, not too much. I mean, the cards that have been run in Atlantic City in the past, definitely we've gotten bumps from that. But just because it's at the Prudential Center there, I can't say that we really got too much of a bump just from it being in the state. UFC overall is just a big draw. Anytime it's a pay-per-view, it's going to be a big draw. So it doesn't really matter the locale of it.
All right, let's get to tonight. We've got game two of the NBA Finals. I know the topic du jour on social media was, where is this game? Why is it not on Saturday? I get it. We're all mad about it. However, that's just the way they've always done it, right? Thursday, Sunday for the NBA Finals. So more days for people to pile in onto their betting accounts. So let's start with the side. Game one, of course, the Pacers have the comeback in that fourth quarter, Thomas. So the Pacers win outright. Now market sitting at around 11. What have you guys seen from an action standpoint on that side? Oklahoma City right now at 11.
Yeah, and it has not moved from the opener of 11. And at least on the spread, this game has been bet pretty evenly in terms of action. We're seeing good action come in on the Pacers taking the 11, and there are definitely folks who are laying the 11 with the Thunder. And listen, the Thunder looked like they were going to easily cover that number through most of that game until late in game one. And I'll say this, in game one, I believe Oklahoma City actually lost that game in the first half. They were able to turn them over 19 times in the first half and only have a 12-point lead. They needed to be up by 20 at that point, especially turning them over the way that they did. And Indiana did what we have seen them do so many times through the playoffs. This team just never thinks that they're out of it. And the Thunder allowed them back into it. And, you know, unfortunately, for the Oklahoma City backers, I mean, believe me, there were a lot of bridge jumpers there, Tim, in game one that were just laying big money on the Oklahoma City money line, thinking that was just going to be an easy return, they got burned. So the bridge jumpers haven't really returned here for game two. We aren't seeing that behavior exhibited yet. And we actually are seeing a lot more money come in here on the Pacers money line for tonight than we did in game one. There wasn't a lot of Pacers money line action for game one. It was definitely the opposite here. I mean, people laying, wagering $25,000, $50,000 on the Thunder money line just to get burned like that. So not necessarily the case here, but again, those individuals, you need to do that a lot more times and be successful to make the money up that they lost in game one.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You mentioned it, inability to extend that lead. I thought this stat, and we're going to talk more about this top of the hour, Thomas, off of the 14 live ball turnovers, so straight steals from Oklahoma City. They went just 2 of 12 from the field, and one of those was that breakout dunk from Jalen Williams where he just kind of intercepted the pass from the inbound. So really, of the 13 others, there were 1 of 11 from the field. So, you know, what changes? Does Indiana clean it up? Does Oklahoma City make their shots a little bit more? It's got to be fascinating to see. Before I let you run, I did want to hit on this because Paul Skeens takes the hill today. The numbers, as I started the show with, are staggering when you look at the lack of run support. And right now the market has the first five total at 3. I mean, it's wild when you look at this. And he's playing Philly today. Now, they're at home. They're at PNC. What have you guys seen Phillies and Pirates with Skeens on the hill here in our final minute?
Yeah, and actually the first five, I have not only a total of 3, I have a juice to the under here. So, listen, between Skeens and Sanchez is on the hill for the Phillies, and he's, again, having another pretty good year here to start, 5-1, 3.15 ERA. I think this could end up being a very, very good pitching matchup. The Phillies' bats have really kind of gone quiet lately. Now they have hit this skid. Now Harper's on the DL, or the IL, I should say. But, you know, it's with the lack of offense in Philly and schemes there on the Hill, this game has been big bet to the under full game and the first five as well.
Thomas, always appreciate the insight and enjoy the rest of the weekend, sir.
All right. Thanks, Tim.
There he is. Thomas Gable joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. More on the NBA Finals coming up top of the hour. Hey, just a reminder, folks, no better way to start your day than with the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast.